The following is a free-for-download audiobook from the website krishnapath.org. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 14. The Ecstasy of the Lord and His Devotees. The symptoms of highly developed devotional service exhibited by the pure devotees are sometimes imitated by persons who are not actually pure devotees of Krishna. This is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Such symptoms of devotional service to Krishna are purposeful, they are not actual. Sometimes those who are not conversant with this science of devotional service are captivated by the exhibition of such symptoms, but those who are in knowledge of the science of devotional service do not accept such symptoms. They are simply imitation, or only the beginning. That is accepted by the learned devotees. According to the different divisions and grades of devotees, the permanent situations of the devotional attitude are divided into five categories. 1. Peacefulness. 2. Servitude toward Krishna. 3. Friendship with Krishna. 4. Parental affection toward Krishna. And 5. Conjugal love for Krishna. There is a different taste and relish in each of the different divisions of love of Godhead, and a devotee situated in a particular type of devotional service is happy in that position. The characteristic symptom of a pure devotee are laughing and crying. When emotions are favorable, they laugh. When the emotion is not favorable, they cry. But above these two emotions, there is the permanent situation of love, which is called sthayi bhava. In other words, the attachment to Krishna is called a permanent situation. That permanent loving attitude is sometimes mixed with different kinds of tastes, and they are named bibhava, anubhava, and vyabhichari. Bibhava is a particular taste for attachment to Krishna, and is divided into two further categories named alambana and udipana. The cause that increases one's love of Krishna is said to be bibhava, and in the Agni Purana and other authoritative scriptures. Such taste is increased as alambana when Krishna is the objective. When Krishna's transcendental qualities include a devotional emotion, by his activities, his beautiful smiling face, and the flavor of his body, the sound of his flute, the sound of the nopur or conch shell, the marks of his soul, his dwelling place, his paraphernalia of devotional service, such as tulsi leaves, devotees, and the performance of ceremonies, and ekadasi, this devotional emotion is induced is called alambana or udipana. When feeling and emotion within oneself are exhibited, that is called anubhava. In the anubhava attitude, one dances and sometimes falls down, sometimes sings loudly, sometimes shows convulsions, sometimes yearns, sometimes breathes very heavily, all without any concern for the situation. Those external features exhibited on the body of the devotees are called udbhavshvar. The vyabhichari symptoms are 33 in number. Such symptoms principally comprise the matter of words and different features of the body. These different features of the body, such as dancing and trembling and laughing, etc., when mixed with the vyabhichari symptoms are called samchari. And when bhava, anubhava, and vyabhichari symptoms are mixed together, they make the devotee dive into the ocean of immortality. That is called the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of the pure nectar of devotional service. And one who is merged into that ocean is concentratedly in transcendental pleasure on the waves and sound of that particular ocean. The particular flavors or tastes of the devotees who merge into that ocean of Bhakti Rasamrita are known as neutrality, servitude, friendship, parenthood, and conjugal love. The conjugal love taste, however, with symptoms of decorating the body for attracting Krishna, is very prominent. The flavor of servitude increases up to affection, anger, fraternity, and attachment. The relish of friendship increases up to affection, anger, fraternity, attachment, and devotion. In the relish of parenthood, the attachment increases up to affection, anger, fraternity, and devotion. There are special flavors of friendship with the Supreme Lord, as manifested in friends such as Subal. There is devotion. There, the devotion increases up to bhava. The different flavors are also divided into two kinds of ecstasy called yoga and biyoga, or meeting and separation. In the relish of friendship and parenthood, the feelings of meeting and separation are various. The situations known as ruda and aniruda are possible in the flavor of conjugal love. Conjugal love, as exhibited by the queens at Dwarka, is called rudha, and the conjugal love exhibited in Vrindavan by the damsels of Braja is called aniruda. The highest perfections of aniruda affection in conjugal love can be divided into two. When they are actually getting together, it is called madana, and when they are separated, it is called mohana. In the ecstasy of madana, there are symptoms of kissing one another, and in the ecstasy of mohana, there are two kinds of symptoms, udgurna and chitrajalpa. There are together 10 divisions of chitrajalpa platform. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a portion known as Brahmar Gita, and different kinds of chitrajalpa are mentioned there. Udgurna is a symptom of separation, and there is also the symptom called transcendental insanity. In that transcendental insanity, one thinks that he himself has become the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In such an ecstasy, he imitates the symptoms of Krishna in different ways. There are two kinds of dresses in conjugal love. They are called Sambhoga and Biparlamba. On the Sambhoga platform, the dresses are unlimited, and on the Biparlamba platform, they are four in number. The ecstasy exhibited before the meeting of the lover and love and the beloved, and the ecstasy between them after meeting, and the state of mind of not meeting the beloved is called Biparlamba. And that Biparlamba, or previous state of love, is a nourishing element for meeting afterwards. When the lover and beloved meet all of a sudden and embrace one another, the feeling of ecstasy of happiness, that state of mind is called Sambhoga. Sambhoga ecstasy is also known in different situations by four names. 1. Samkshipta. 2. Samkirna. 3. Sampana. 4. Samridhiman. Such symptoms are also visible during dreams. The state of being before actually meeting one another is called Purvaraga. The obstacles to the meeting of the lover and the beloved are called mana, or anger. When the lover and beloved are separated in different places, that sense is called pravas. And the feelings of separation, which are present even during the meeting, under certain conditions, are called love anxieties. This anxiety of love is exhibited in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 90th chapter, when the princess says, "We're keeping awake nights, watching Krishna sleeping." They are afraid of Krishna's separation and were talking amongst themselves of how they had been affected by the beautiful eyes and smiling of Krishna. The supreme lover is Krishna, and he is situated in Vrindavan. The supreme beloved is Radharani. As Krishna is the supreme lover, there are 64 important qualifications of Krishna on hearing which the devotee takes transcendental pleasure. The characteristics of Krishna are explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. 1. His body is well constructed. 2. It is full of auspicious symptoms. 3. Beautiful. 4. Very glorious. 5. Strong. 6. Always looking like a boy of 16. 7. Well-versed in different languages. 8. Truthful. 9. Decorated with pleasing words. 10. Expert in speaking. 11. Very learned. 12. Intelligent. 13. Influential. 14. Joyful. 15. Cunning. 16. Expert. 17. Grateful. 18. Firmly convinced. 19. He knows how to deal with different circumstances. 20. Is always conversant with scriptural injunctions. 21. Clean. 22. Controlled by devotees. 23. Steady. 24. Self-controlled. 15. Forgive, or 25. Forgiving. 26. Grave. 27. Speculative. 28. Fair dealing. 29. Magnanimous. 30. Religious. 31. A great hero. 32. Merciful. 33. Respectful. 34. Competent. 35. Gentle. 36. Modest. 37. Protector of the surrendered soul. 38. Deliverer. 39. Friend of the devotees. 40. Submissive to love. 41. All auspicious. 42. Most powerful. 43. Famous. 44. Devoted to all living entities. 45. Worshipable by all. 48. Full with all opulence. 49. Supreme. 50. Full with riches. All the above mentioned 50 qualities are fragmentally present in every living entity. When they are completely spiritually free and situated in their original condition, all the above mentioned 50 qualities can be perceived in human life, but in minute quantity. There are 5 other transcendental qualities, as mentioned above, which can be seen in Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, and partially in Lord Shiva also, but they are not visible in the living entities. They are as follows. 1. Always situated in his original condition. 2. Omniscient. 3. Evergreen and always fresh. 4. Eternally blissful. 5. Conversant. The master of all perfection. Besides the above-mentioned 5 transcendental qualities, there are 5 other qualities which can be seen in the spiritual sky, especially in the Vaikuntha planets where Narayan is the predominating deity. They are 1. Inconceivable potencies. 2. Able to sustain innumerable universes. 3. The seed of all incarnations. 4. To give the highest perfection to enemies who are killed by Narayan. And 5. The most attractive of the self-realized persons. The above-mentioned 60 qualities are visible up to Narayan. And Krishna has 4 other special qualities, which are 1. Able to manifest wonderful pastimes. 2. His transcendental flute playing. 3. Eternal youth. 4. His personal beauty. As Krishna has 64 transcendental qualities that described above, so Srimati Radharani has 25 transcendental qualities by creation, material and spiritual. But Radharani can control even Krishna by her transcendental qualities. Such transcendental qualities are described as follows. 1. She is sweetness personified. 2. She is a fresh young girl. 3. Her eyes are always moving. 4. She is always brightly smiling. 5. She has all the signs of fortunate lines in her body. 6. By the flavor of her person, even Krishna becomes agitated. 7. She is expert in the art of singing. 8. She can speak very nicely and sweetly. 9. She is expert in presenting herself by feminine attraction. 10. She is modest and gentle. 11. She is always very merciful. 12. She is transcendentally cunning. 13. She knows how to dress nicely. 14. She is always shy. 15. She is always respectful. 16. She is always patient. 17. She is very grave. 18. She is enjoyable by Krishna. 19. She's always situated on the highest devotional platform. 20. She can give shelter to all kinds of devotees. 22. She is always affectionate to superior and inferior. 23. She is always obliged by the dealings of her associates. 24, she is the greatest among all the girlfriends of Krishna. 25, she always keeps Krishna under her control. So, Krishna and Radharani are both transcendentally qualified, and both are attractive for each other. But still, in that transcendental attractiveness, Radharani is better than Krishna. This attractiveness of Radharani is the transcendental taste in conjugal love. Similarly, there are transcendental tastes in the service of friendship, servitude, and other relationships with Krishna. They can be described as follows with reference to the context of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Persons who have been thoroughly cleansed by devotional service and who are always joyful and full of elevated consciousness, who are very much attached to the studies of Srimad Bhagavatam, always cheerful in the association of devotees, and who have accepted the lotus feet of Krishna as the ultimate shelter of their lives, who are pleased to perform all details of devotional service, have in their pure hearts the transcendental ecstasy of attachment developed out of old and new reformatory performance. That state of being enriched with love of Krishna and transcendental experience becomes gradually developed into the mature oneness of spiritual life. Such a spiritual taste of life cannot be possible for those who are not in Krishna consciousness and in devotional service. This fact is further corroborated in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where it is said, quote, "For the non-devotee, it is very difficult to understand the taste of devotional service. Only one who has taken complete shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, whose life is merged in the ocean of devotional service, can understand this transcendental relish." End quote. Lord Chaitanya thus explained briefly about the transcendental situation or spiritual relish of life, and he said that this is the fifth stage of perfection. The first stage of perfection is to become a religious man in the ordinary sense in the material world. The second stage of perfection is to become materially rich. The third stage of material perfection is complete sense enjoyment, and the fourth stage of material existence is knowledge of liberation. But above liberation are those who are already liberated. They can stand on the fifth stage of perfection, which is called Krishna consciousness, or devotional service to the Lord. The highest perfection of such devotional service in Krishna consciousness is described as the taste of the ecstasy of spiritual relish. The Lord then related to Sanatana Goswami that before teaching him, he had already taught his younger brother, Rupa Goswami, at Prayag, Allahabad. He assured Sanatana Goswami that Rupa Goswami had been empowered by him to spread the knowledge which he had given him. Similarly, he ordered Sanatana Goswami to write books on the transcendental loving service of the Lord and authorized him to re-excavate the different sites of Krishna's pastimes in the district of Mathura. He was also advised to construct temples at Vrindavan and to write books on the principles of Vaishnavism as authorized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatana Goswami executed all his desires. He constructed the temple of Madan Mohan at Vrindavan, and he wrote books on the principles of devotional service such as Hari Bhakti Vilas. Lord Chaitanya taught Sanatana Goswami how to live in the material world in complete relationship with Krishna, and he taught him also that there is no necessity of dry renunciation. The purport is that in the present day, there are many persons who accept the renounced order of life without any spiritual advancement. Lord Chaitanya did not approve of such acceptance of sannyas without perfect knowledge in Krishna consciousness. Actually, we find that there are many so-called sannyasis who are acting like less than ordinary men, yet are passing themselves off as the renounced order of life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not accept such hypocrisy, and he taught Sanatana Goswami to write elaborately on the subject matter in his different books. This perfectional stage of spiritual life, even while being in the material world, is described in the twelfth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as follows, quote, "Such a devotee who is not envious of any living entity, who is friendly, who is merciful, who is detached from material possessions, who is situated in pure identification without any false conception of the body, who is equipoised in both happiness and distress, who is forgiving, always satisfied, and always engaged in devotional service, always being surrendered with body and mind unto the Supreme Lord. He is very dear to me." End quote. Such a devotee who never gives trouble to any living entity, either by the body or by the mind, who is never affected by material distress and happiness, is never angry or pleased with anything material, who is freed from all kinds of material affection, is very dear to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is never dependent on anyone in this world. He who is a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord, who is purified, expert, neutral, painless, and aloof from any material endeavor which requires too much attention, such a devotee is also very dear to Lord Krishna. A person who is never subjected to material happiness, material hatred, lamentation, and ambition, who is aloof from all auspicious and inauspicious activities of the material world and fully devoted in Krishna consciousness, he is very dear to Lord Krishna. A devotee who treats equally a so-called enemy and a so-called friend in the material world, and who is not disturbed by any warmth or coolness due to the affection of his skin, and who is without any attachment and equally situated when he is respected or when insulted, always grave, satisfied in any condition of life, without any fixed house for residence, and always fixed in Krishna consciousness, is very dear to Lord Krishna. Even if one is not situated in some transcendental position, still, if and when one approves of such transcendental life, he also becomes very dear to Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 2nd Chapter, there is a very nice verse in which it is said that a devotee should always remain dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. As far as his material necessities are concerned, he should be satisfied with whatever is obtained without any endeavor. Shukadeva Goswami advised in that connection that a devotee should never approach a materialistic person for any kind of help. So far as his bodily necessities are concerned, he may pick up a torn cloth thrown in the street. He can take fruits offered by the tree. He can drink water which is flowing in the river. And he can live in a cave constructed by nature herself, in a hill and mountain regions. Above all, if he is unable to do all these things, he should completely depend on the Supreme Lord, understanding that the Supreme Lord provides food, or provides everyone with food and shelter, and therefore he will never fail to care for his devotees who have fully surrendered unto him. In both ways, the devotee is always protected, and therefore she should not be at all in anxious for his maintenance of life. Sanatana Goswami thus inquired into all phases of devotional service, and Lord Chaitanya taught him most confidentially from authoritative scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of devotional service and Krishna consciousness. He then referred to the Vedic literature known as Harivamsa about the situation of the transcendental abode of Krishna. This information was disclosed by Indra when he offered his prayer after his defeat in challenging the potency of Krishna. In the Harivamsa, it is stated that above the earth there is sky, where the birds fly, and those who are expert in operating airplanes can fly, but the birds and those flying airplanes are unable to reach the higher planetary systems. The first higher planetary system begins from the sun planet. The sun planet is situated in the middle of the universe, and above the sun planet there are other planetary systems where persons elevated by great austerities and penances are situated. The whole material universe is called Devidam, and above the Devidam there is Shivadam, where Lord Shiva and his wife Parvati eternally reside. In that planetary system is the spiritual sky, where innumerable spiritual planets known as Vaikunthas are situated. And above them, there is Krishna's planet, known as Goloka. Goloka means the planet of the cows. Krishna is very fond of cows, and therefore his abode is known as Goloka. Goloka is bigger than all the material and spiritual planets put together. In that prayer of Harivamsa, Indra admitted that he could not understand the situation of Goloka, even by asking Brahma. Those who are devotees of Narayan, another expansion of Krishna, become situated in the Vaikuntha planets, but it is very difficult to reach the Goloka planet. That can be reached only by persons who are devotees of Lord Chaitanya or Lord Sri Krishna. Indra then admitted that, quote, "You have descended from that Goloka planet in the spiritual world, and the disturbance which I have created was due to my foolishness," end quote. And he therefore begged excuse from Lord Krishna. The last phase of the pastimes of Lord Krishna is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Musala Lila, including the mystery of Krishna's disappearance from this material world. He played a pastime that he was killed by a hunter. There are many disruptive explanations of the last portions of Lord Krishna's pastimes, such as the description of the incarnation of his hair, and Lord Chaitanya described them in their right interpretation. As far as the incarnation of King Kamsa is concerned, this is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vishnu Purana, and in Mahabharata. It is stated that the Lord snatched from his head two kinds of hair, a gray hair and a black hair, and the separating hairs entered into the wombs of two queens of the Yadu dynasty, namely Rohini and Devaki. It is stated there that Lord Krishna descends to this material world for vanquishing all the demons, but some say that that Krishna is the incarnation of Vishnu, who is lying on the ocean of milk within this universe. Srila Rupa Goswami and his commentator, Srila Baladeva Bidibhusan, have discussed this point fully and have established the exact truth. Sri Jiva Goswami also discussed this point in the Krishna Samdarbha. When Lord Chaitanya finished his instruction to Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana, being empowered and enlightened, was so transcendentally pleased that he at once fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and began to speak. Quote, "I am born of a very low family, and I've always been in the association with lowly people, and therefore I'm the lowest of all of the sinful persons. But you are so kind that you have taught me lessons which are not even understood by the greatest being, Brahma. And by your grace I have appreciated the conclusions which you have taught me. But I am so low that I cannot touch even a drop of the ocean of your instruction. If you therefore want me, who am nothing but a lame man, to dance, then kindly give me your benediction by placing your feet on my head." End quote. He prayed for the Lord's confirmation that the teachings might actually be evolved in his heart, and by the grace of the Lord. Otherwise, there was no possibility of them being described by him. The purport is that the acharyas, or spiritual masters, are authorized by higher authorities. Instruction alone cannot make one expert. Unless one is blessed by the spiritual master or the acharya, such teaching cannot become fully manifested. Therefore, one should seek the mercy of the spiritual master so that the instruction of the spiritual master may develop within himself. After the prayer of Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya placed his feet over the head of Sanatana and gave him benediction that all the instructions he had given him would develop in him fully. That was the description of the ultimate stage of love of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya said that such a description cannot be made very elaborately, but he had informed him as far as possible. Conclusion. Anyone who attentively hears these discussions and instructions of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami very soon becomes situated in Krishna consciousness and can be engaged in devotional service to the Lord.